I'm Emily Alphen Johnson, VPR Digital Producer. I just wanted to let you know that this episode of Vermont Edition has been edited for clarity and brevity.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. It might seem like a semantic argument. Are you an employee of a company or an independent contractor? But the category you get placed into can make a big difference for your rights and responsibilities as a worker and a big difference in the taxes and fees a company pays to employ you. The question of when to categorize someone as an independent contractor has vexed not just businesses and workers, but the state of Vermont, which has in the past felt frustrated by what officials say are millions of dollars not being put into the state's unemployment and workers' compensation funds because businesses don't have to pay into those funds for independent contractors. Some workers like the flexibility of being an independent contractor. Others, though, feel like they're being miscategorized and losing out on benefits and job security. So why is it so difficult to make a standard definition that's easy to follow and workable for both businesses and job seekers? Legislation on this issue has been proposed and debated several times over the last decade, and this year is no exception. We're going to talk now to two lawmakers about how they see the issue and why it has been difficult to get clarity on it. Representative Heidi Sherman has worked on this issue for a long time. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Jane.
And Representative Jean O'Sullivan is a member of the House Commerce Committee that has been looking at this issue again this year. Representative O'Sullivan, thank you for being here as well.
Thank you. It's my second go-around with this issue, and I presume we'll be going for a third.
Yes, and we'll get into that. But so I was starting to give an explanation of a little bit of why this is important for both businesses and workers. It's important to know how you're categorized because it's going to affect what rights you have, what ability you have to collect unemployment if you're a worker, what rights you have as an employer to pay into the workers' compensation and unemployment funds if you have workers, right?
So let's start with a basic issue. The default in the state of Vermont is you are an employee unless you are not. So when you're crafting any legislation, what you're crafting is legislation that is carving someone out from the basic concept that they're an employee. If they're an employee, they're covered by wage and hour, they're covered by anti-discrimination, they are covered by all of the labor laws that we have over the many years in the country. However, there is that presumption. The second part of this issue is that our economy is changing. I represent Burlington, which is a tech economy. In the tech world, you have consortiums of independent contractors who come together for long and short-term contracts. Their role and how they interact with the workplace is very different than what we had in the traditional Global Founders IBM model. So you have that, and also the other half, so that's one of your challenges. So people don't know what it looks like. The Women Business Owners Network has a problem. They're all independent contractors. They're having a problem getting hired in the state because people don't know what an independent contractor looks like. On the labor side, the labor people are pretty much happy with the current definition because it's fairly strict. It casts a wide workers' comp network into labor. Consequently, they're fine with the definition, but what we have is very uneven enforcement. So you have people who are on the job getting injured who should have workers' comp and are not covered. So that basically is the lay of the land.
All right, but Heidi Sherman, I see you shaking your head. Like maybe you want to weigh in here.
No, Jean is. Jean and I worked together on this for the last couple of years on the Commerce and Economic Development Committee, and I've been involved since Chip Conquest and I started years ago. And it is not just about the tech community, though. We have businesses all over the state,
Yeah. And
we have independent contractors all over the state who are trying to grow and prosper in their world.
Yeah, so we often hear about the construction industry is a big area, but that's not it either.
That's not only it either. That's correct. And so I'll just bring it back to a couple of stories. So first of all, I'll just put my personal story out there. I am an owner of a business. I employ a few people, including painters and carpenters, who do and I manage residential properties. If I have four turnovers of apartments, I can't hire an independent painter to come in and help me do that extra work. unless I classify them as an employee. And so that
because
is the challenge, because it is in the nature of my business that I do this, that I have people on staff already doing painting.
Let me just pause here, because I think Representative O'Sullivan, you mentioned the definition of worker, and Representative Sherman, you're getting into this as well. The idea in statute of who is classified as an employee, part of the definition says, is this position an integral or essential part of your business? And if so, that would lean towards classifying that person as an employee.
There's a piece to that. It's under current law, that's absolutely true. And that comes back to what threw us into the paroxysm of delight that we're in now, which is the 2008 Chatham Woods decision, which basically elevated the nature of business. So anybody coming in and inspecting, and especially those auditors for construction later on, will come in, and Heidi's absolutely, Representative Sherman's absolutely right. At this point, under the current definition, she cannot hire an independent contractor as a painter to come in and paint her apartments.
Because that's an essential part of her business.
Part of the big give in this last bill has been an understanding that instead of ruling out you, if you have anything to do with the nature of business, the big give in this bill was opening it up and saying the degree to which it's an essential part of the business. So there's some real nuance there, and we use the term integral because that has all of the Fair Labor Standards Act law behind it. The Great Northern decision, which just came out, has basically changed the entire landscape, because what it did is it put back the nature of business and that whole integral issue back into the perspective where it should be, which would be judged along with all of the other criteria.
Can I just go back, because I think we're getting into the weeds here. I just want to go back to, we have a definition in law right now, and it's called an ABC test. It does not work. That is one thing that we have developed over the course of the time I've been working on this. There is now an understanding on the part of most that there is a problem. That took a long time to get to, that there's a problem with the nature of the business test, or that there's a problem in general with under workers' compensation and unemployment insurance labor laws. That's the good news. But in my view, the absolute necessity is to actually fixing the problem, and not just going in a step in the right direction. We actually have to fix this problem, in my view. We have to have a definition of an independent contractor. That definition must be clear and easily understood by the employing units and by independent contractors and employees. It must be clear and easily understood by the insurance companies and agents, so that they will not force employing units like mine to treat an independent contractor as an employee. And it must be clear, easily understood, and easily enforceable by the Department of Labor.
That's the problem.
And so he's completely right.
Okay, so we have agreement here, but Representative Sherman, why is that hard to get to?
So that's hard to get to. At this point, it's hard to get to because right now, that clarity that many of us have been searching in both last year and now this year, instead of having clarity, they're having the advocates of the current bill that is in the works. It's a totality of the circumstances of all of these.
And that sounds like gobbledygook to me.
That sounds me too. And so, for example, if you don't meet one, it still would not necessarily count as the person wouldn't necessarily be considered an employee.
As in there's a few criteria and you have to meet all of them in order to be categorized as an independent contractor.
But if my insurance company believes that there's any chance that that person should be liable for workers' compensation under a definition, then I will have to hire that person as an employee.
Person comes back and says, I should get workers' compensation, but you have miscategorized me, mm-hmm. then Heidi Sherman, your insurance company could be on the hook. So they are from the beginning going to err on the side of caution.
That's right. They are very conservative. And so and because they're liable in the end. So that's the clarity that we're searching for in the definition is of utmost importance. And it's of utmost importance that the insurance companies understand and so that they will be able to do business differently.
We got a note from Wendy in Panton who says, I've been self-employed in Vermont since 1992. Like many self-employed Vermonters, I have preferred the flexibility and autonomy of being an independent consultant for several clients rather than an employee exclusively for one company. The following are some key attributes that have defined my independent contractor status and relationship with clients. One, I have my own office and workspace apart from a client's premises. Though a client might offer an office for me to use while performing their work, it's not my permanent or official office. Two, I have my own equipment, phones, computer, printer. Again, a client might provide a laptop for me to use while performing their work, but it's not mine to use for all my work. Three, I have more than one client. For a period of time, I might work exclusively for one client, but I'm free to take on additional clients at any time. And four, I pay my own taxes and secure my own health benefits. So that's Wendy's experience as a self-employed person. Justin Worthley is VP of Human Resources at Burton. And he writes, I think it's important to keep in mind that there are a lot of Vermont employers, like Burton, that are operating in multiple states, and the rules around independent contractors are much more straightforward in other states. Vermont's current outlook on classification is more restrictive than virtually all other states. It's easier to hire a contractor for a short-term business need in another state versus hiring that same resource as an employee in Vermont. Ultimately, that's reducing opportunities for Vermonters. Justin continues, there are currently different rules that govern independent contractor versus employee classifications for unemployment insurance, workers' compensation, and tax status.
We had testimony from him, from Burton, and it was just, what's whipsawing the business community now under the current bill is because the test they're looking at, when an auditor comes in, they say, if they're anywhere near the nature of the business, they get classified as an employee. It's a very wide, and it's too wide a net. So that because that's what they call a dispositive test, it's like an ABC test. If you fail any one of those things, you flunk totally. So that's what's whipsawing business now. So by opening that up, the approach was to try to find a way to open this up enough so that businesses can hire people and can have a not dispositive test, which means not any one thing will knock them out. But again, and the risk with this bill, quite honestly, is so we're taking the totality in hopes that you could actually have a trained workers' comp enforcement unit that was not giving people different answers for the same situation, which is happening all the time. And the other thing, which has not been added onto this bill, but is a big part for what labor wants, and I agree with them, is to have the Attorney General's office give the people the right to make a complaint of misclassification and have the AG's office, because what the other thing we're looking at is not only do auditors not know how to classify people correctly and they're costing businesses money and they're basically crippling business, but the other challenge we've got is we have such an uneven enforcement that when an auditor comes, the DUI, the unemployment people are mandated by the feds, and they have a strict ABC test. It makes it much easier for them to administer to an extent, but also they're not mandated to draw the kind of wide net that workers' comp is because it's a safety issue.
Heidi Sherman, I want to get you in here, but let me just ask one thing of Gene O'Sullivan, because Representative O'Sullivan, you've mentioned this bill a couple of times, but my understanding is the bill that you've been working on this session is not going to go through by the end of this year. So no, we're going to be looking at it again in the second half of the biennium, right?
We are hoping that the committee will have further discussions on it because
And this is the House Commerce Committee.
Yes. Inevitably, it will come back again. My Pollyanna-ish hope is that we continue to get engaged, we continue the dialogue, we bring more people into it, and we make a commitment that this comes in front of us January 1st, and it gets out of my committee, voted out up or down by January 31st.
But so the underlying one of the main issues is this nature of the business or integral part of the business. And I still have not received, in all of my years, a reason why that can't, if we're talking, what we need to focus on is the independence of the worker, whether or not that worker is independent. Regardless of nature of the business, is that worker independent? I don't understand why, I mean, this is the crux of the problem. And so our hope is that be eliminated. and why we can't do that, and why, for example...
Well, is it because of a need to protect workers? Because, sure, you can say, I want to hire you and you're independent, but if what you're doing is actually hiring somebody to work 40 hours a week on your schedule say they're independent, they may not have the ability or the power in that dynamic to say, no, you need to be paying my Social Security taxes.
That is a great point, and that's what I do, because every proposal that I've brought forward has had a clear definition, and it has had the essential right to control the means and progress. He or she is customarily engaged in an independently established trade. He or she has substantive investment in the facilities, tools, instruments. They have the opportunity for profit and loss. He or she hires and pays his or her employees, and he or she makes her services available to the general public. And then I have this is the current one, but what my question has always been is, give me an example. Give me a situation in which this would not work. Just that, if they meet all of these, it's really easily enforceable because they meet all of these. And employees would know that this is the thing, and independent contractors would know. I have yet to hear of a situation in which using the Maine version of our – Maine has a common definition for workers' comp and independent
the state of Maine.
And I have yet to hear a situation in which that wouldn't – that an independent contractor would be – or an actual employee would be classified as an independent contractor and not – and meet all those things when they're actually an employee.
I'm going to put a pin in this part of the conversation because we are going to move on and talk with business and worker perspective coming up. Representatives Heidi Sherman and Gina Sullivan, thank you very much for sharing just a little bit of your perspective on this issue today. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Jane.
Josh in Burlington says, I am a young professional working in the tech industry. The majority of my income comes from independent contracting out of New York City, where I've had no difficulty finding stable work. However, here in Burlington, I've not found any companies willing to work with me as an independent contractor. Obviously, I'd prefer to work in Burlington. I'm curious if there's something in the Vermont employment laws or tax laws that discourage businesses here from hiring independent contractors. And Josh, we've just been hearing from Representative Heidi Sherman that she feels like there is. We got a note from an anonymous listener who says, I was first hired as a contractor in the early 80s and have held such positions off and on ever since. For 11 years, it had been my sole income until the Department of Labor stepped in with this new rule. They harassed companies I worked for with labor audits and put me out of work. My current income is only a quarter of what it was 2 years ago. Rather than punish the company, this rule punishes individuals, and it fails to realize we've had no choice but to follow the company's wishes. Claudia in Chalots, referring back to the bill we talked about earlier that Representative O'Sullivan has been working on, she says, this bill does something no other proposed legislation has managed. It strikes a reasonable balance between business and labor. I'm in favor. Nick says, all I know is that TurboTax hiked up the price significantly once I finished entering my W-2 and began to file my 1099 miscellaneous, which you do if you're an independent contractor. We have invited two more voices into this conversation now. Bill Driscoll represents Associated Industries of Vermont. Hello again, Bill.
Good to be back. Thank you.
And Dan Barlow represents Vermont Businesses for Social Responsibility. Hi, Dan.
Good to be here, Jane.
And I should mention VPR is a member of VBSR.
So I'll be sending your application after this.
That's right, yes. So we've been talking about why this is important and hearing from two lawmakers who, you know, as you could hear, we're going back and forth a little bit on definitions and how important that is in figuring out how to classify a worker, because that's, of course, what businesses are going to use and what insurance companies are going to use when it comes to figuring out how to employ somebody. Bill Driscoll, is that the crux of the issue as you see it here with independent contractors in Vermont?
I think it definitely does touch upon the core issue, and I think that was brought up by some of the comments that you just went through about why it's so critical that the language in the statute be as clear and as simple and as understandable as possible, and also, frankly, fair and logical, because there's some talk about whether there's flexibility or how the department might enforce or interpret, but most of the situations we're concerned about happen long before it ever comes to a question of enforcement. In other words, we want to make sure that a company looking to hire an independent contractor or somebody wanting to put themselves out there as an independent contractor has a very clear understanding of whether or not they're following the law, because the biggest thing is to take – if there's any uncertainty or if there are questionable aspects of the test involved, especially after what we've gone through over the last several years of companies sort of being caught out of the blue and being penalized when really they thought they were doing the right thing, there's going to be a real hesitancy, and there has been a real hesitancy growing among companies to hire Vermont independent contractors if they are worried about what might happen to them if they get caught up through no fault of their own down the road.
Which is what we were hearing from Representative Sherman. Dan Barlow, is that how you see it too?
Yeah. You know, VBSR is approaching this issue kind of with two different lenses. Number one, misclassification is a big concern for our business community. A lot of VBSR members they hire just employees, and they're very proud that everyone works for them as just an employee. And they see other companies who are misclassifying, and they're recognizing that they can't play on a level playing field with a field like that. At the same time, we have a lot of independent contractors who are kind of feeling frozen out from contracting with Vermont companies because the current ABC test is too restrictive, and there's been some really bad experiences with the Department of Labor and the regulation there and the enforcement of that regulation. So I would agree with Bill, there's kind of like a fear out there for Vermont businesses to contract with independent contractors here in Vermont. We have to fix that.
So the main issue, as you see it, with the way employees are classified in Vermont is that it's too restrictive, that independent contractors that companies can't use independent contractors as much as they would wish, and in fact that workers, by and large, would like to be hired as independent contractors? I mean, is that the problem that needs to be fixed in Vermont?
I think for most Vermonters right now, their ideal job is still full-time employment, pays a living wage, comes with benefits like health care, paid time off, things like that.
Unemployment,
exactly,
yeah. Workers' compensation.
So I think let's recognize we're talking about a slice of the Vermont economy. Again, most Vermont workers still want full-time jobs, full-time employment. So what we are seeing is still a freezing out of the true independent contractors out there, true Vermont entrepreneurs who want to work as sole proprietors and want to work for Vermont companies.
So, Bill Driscoll, would you advocate for the legislature basically just saying, let's try to find a way to do away with these definitions and employers get to hire and categorize as they would like?
Well, you do have to have rules and criteria, obviously, because it does make a difference in terms of liabilities and responsibilities and choices that both companies hiring independent contractors and people wanting to be independent contractors have to have. The real issue is, they're sort of twofold, I guess. And this gets to the question of clarity and confidence in the system. There are sort of two models you could go. You could either have a simple checklist of four factors, six factors that make common sense in terms of, are you talking about two separate business entities or are you talking about truly an employer and employee? And then you could have what's being discussed mostly this year called the totality approach, where you have a list, but it's not like a simple check the box. You have six or seven factors, and whoever is making the decision, ultimately the Department of Labor, can sort of mix or match or weight those different factors differently depending on how they want to approach that. And so between those two models, the totality one is definitely problematic because of that sort of subjectivity, and you don't really know exactly how the department is going to weigh this factor or that factor. Will they ignore these two or not? So that's an issue. The second more critical issue, though, is what are the questions you're actually going to ask? And the most problematic one in the context of responsibility for workers' comp or unemployment insurance is the nature of the business or integral to the business. They essentially mean the same thing. And that is really when you get into a situation where if the independent contractor is doing something that your employees, either some of them are doing that or they could do that, and there are other factors as well that make it extremely broad, that regardless of how independent, regardless of how established that independent contractor may be, no matter how many other clients they may have, that where this doesn't come up, that is, by this quirk in the law, creating liabilities for the employer, which really don't make any logical sense and can be both disadvantageous if this is confronted up front and very costly in terms of penalties if it comes up later.
Let's go to a few of our calls here. We have a lot of people interested in this discussion. Charles is calling in from West Rutland. Hi, Charles. Go right ahead.
I have a small flooring store, and I do have one flooring installer on my payroll, and then I do use some subs from time to time. And where you run into the problem with the insurance companies is if the subs do the same work as my guide does. Now, these subs work for three or four different stores, and I use them when I can get them or as I need the work. So my workers' comp carrier, you know, tried to get me to pay for them, and I appealed it to the level at the state, and I had a hearing at the state, and it was at a hotel in Burlington, and I walked in, and as luck would have it, they were installing carpet in the entry there. So I pled my case, and I said to the people on the board, I said, all the money in my pocket says that that guy out there installing carpet is an independent subcontractor and does not work for that company. And I felt that it was just a cash grab by the insurance company because I had already passed an audit from the Department of Labor, you know, saying I was doing things right. I feel the state does not want to define a contractor because they want to leave it ambiguous, and that's just the feeling I have.
Well, Charles, I appreciate your perspective. Thanks for sharing it. And I'm curious from Bill Driscoll and Dan Barlow. I mean, one of the issues here is that from the state's perspective, if you have an employee, you have to pay into workers' compensation, the state fund for workers' compensation on behalf of that employee because you have employees who could benefit from it. You also have to pay into the unemployment insurance fund. You know, there are other things as well. You have to pay a portion of Social Security tax. But so from the government's perspective, having employees means more money in those funds. So is the state in some way, you know, does it have a stake in this in trying to maybe make it more ambiguous or push people to categorize their workers as employees rather than independent contractors because it makes the state more money? Dan?
You know, what's clear right now is the current ABC test does push most scenarios to an employee, and that is a big problem. And, you know, Bill mentioned the nature of the business here, and what the current bill in the House Commerce Committee does is still retain nature of the business or integral to the business, as it's phrased in the bill, as a factor, but it's not a deciding factor like the current ABC test. So it does provide more flexibility for legitimate independent contractors to work with Vermont companies. So I think that solves a big question there. And, you know, the companies I've talked to that I've showed them this test that's in the bill, whether it's a VBSR member or a WBON member or, you know,
Women
Business Owners Network or a tech company up in Burlington, they look at the test in the Commerce Committee bill and they say, this makes sense. This is an improvement over current law, and I can look at this and say, listen, if it quacks like a duck and it looks like a duck, it's a duck.
And again, just to clarify, and then Bill, I'll come back to you, this bill that we're talking about, as we heard from Gene O'Sullivan, is not going to get through this half of the biennium, but will be on the docket again come January, and it changes that definition of, is this worker integral to the business, to making it a little bit more flexible in terms of how integral, how essential, and, you know, what part of the business does this person play, with the aim of making it a little bit more flexible for employers to be able to categorize somebody as an independent contractor, even if they are doing the work that the business does. Bill Driscoll, go right ahead.
Well, and I'd like to get back to the state interest afterwards, but just since the discussion and debate going on up the hill here has been around how the integral to the business is being handled in the draft. And there's been some variations in language that have been put on the table. I think trying to say that no one factor in this soup of factors that people are going to be swirling around is dispositive, that is certainly a step in the right direction. I don't think that lends sufficient clarity, especially to the layperson reading it necessarily.
Yeah, that to me has the potential of making it even less clear.
Right. And I think that could certainly, if we're going to take it, for example, if we're going to try to use a totality approach as opposed to a checklist, which would be preferable, I think certainly that intent can be put much more clearly and black and white for folks to understand. There's always going to be nervousness, I think, if people see that list of factors and they see the integral to the business in that list. You can tell them it's not dispositive. You can put whatever you want. It's still going to put the thing in somebody's mind as well. They're asking it, am I going to get nailed on that question? So I think that still has a level of uncertainty, which we'd like to discuss. And, you know, there are other issues with some of the other tests in there as well. It's not just the nature of the business.
But you want to talk about the state interest
as
well.
Yeah, and I think there isn't necessarily really an objective state interest in having a broader definition of employee versus independent contractor because, you know, many independent contractors are sole proprietors, and sole proprietors are not part of the UI system.
unemployment insurance.
Right. So one of the particularly problematic ironies of people being caught up in this is employers paying UI taxes for somebody who doesn't even qualify for unemployment payments. And for workers' compensation, it's not a question of whether the people being covered by the system are being paid in. If you're an independent if you're a sole proprietor, you have a choice under current law whether you want to have workers' compensation for yourself or you do not. And so if they make that choice, then they'll be paying the premiums for themselves. So in theory, it's not really a question of making sure that premium is being paid for everybody who's going to participate in the program. It's really a question, are independent contractors going to be priced out of the market? Are employers, are client companies going to be hit by unexpected and unwarranted penalties? That's the real concern.
Let's go to Matthew. Hi, Matthew. What are you thinking?
I guess I can talk a little bit from the Vermont Tech Alliance perspective. And I really applaud the fact that we're going in and trying to change the definitions because just a lot of our members, there's pain involved.
Yeah, I appreciate hearing that from you, Matthew. What we have been hearing throughout is that there is a problem, and Heidi Sherman and Gino Sullivan both said that there's consensus, at least on the idea from both the worker's perspective and the employer's perspective, that something needs to be fixed, that these definitions don't work. What about protections for workers, though? If we expand the definition of who can be an independent contractor, what protection is there for a worker who says, look, I really believe that I am an employee and I need to be getting benefits. I need to be able to have workers' compensation and unemployment insurance. And instead, this business doesn't want to pay, doesn't want to have those obligations, and they are categorizing me as an independent contractor. I mean, how do we get to the point where workers are also protected when they should be employees?
That's a great question, Jane, and that's really a big concern for our economy. And, right now, there's not a lot of recourse for an employee like that. They can hope that they can file a report. They hope the Department of Labor comes in and investigates. And I think there are some scenarios on the table up for discussion at the State House that would give employees who believe they've been negatively affected by this more rights to fight back. But as we know, when these employees are misclassified, you're right, they're not getting UI. They're not paying into workers' comp. They also don't have, minimum wage protections, paid leave protections, all these things that have really built up the middle class in Vermont over the years. And, that's one of the reasons that VBSR is concerned and we want to retain the nature of the business, the integral to the business. But we do see that as the linchpin to stopping the flow of more misclassification in our economy.
We've got about 10 seconds for you,
Bill. Sure. And I would just say that no proposal that's been put on the table by anybody from any side of the issue would actually make it so that somebody could be an independent contractor, a legitimate independent contractor, without choosing to be one and knowing that they are one.
Well, happily, we get to have this conversation again come January. I really appreciate Bill Driscoll representing Associated Industries of Vermont and Dan Barlow representing Vermont Businesses for Social Responsibility, of which VPR is a member. Thanks very much to both of you for being on the show.
Thank you, Jane.